rejoice. The glory of all this. Here is the quintessential blessing. Welcome, everyone, to our Easter blessing. This is indeed a joyous day that we celebrate for the resurrection of Christ. In the early days of Christianity, this was the one and only holy day. Christmas was a pagan holiday, actually, and the Christians did not celebrate it. They didn't see the need or the relevance of that holiday for their sacred and unique and growing community. What moved everyone in the early days of Christianity to celebrate their faith and expand it was what happened on this day. In many ways, it also fit into a very ancient tradition because almost every civilization of humankind in the world celebrated the beginning of spring. There were new lambs, there were new cattle, the crops were starting to come up, and a new year of life was beginning. And as a matter of fact, in the Jewish tradition, this was the day of liberation. This was the day of, they celebrated as the reason for Passover, the day of their liberation from Egypt. And so it was a day of new beginnings, a day of liberation, and yet Yeshua gave a new meaning to the day, which is unlike any we had ever experienced before, by any civilization of man, by any tribe of man, anywhere in the world. For he was not celebrating the birth of new physical life, or even so much the transcending of his own. He was celebrating, and all who saw him were celebrating, the visible presence of our eternal body, our body of never-ending perfection, strength, light and life, as we were created in the image of God, to be greater than our mortal frame, to be something more than that. And as a matter of fact, no one expected this. This was the surprise that he had in store for everyone, most especially the three Marys that came to the tomb to anoint him for burial. They could not do that earlier because during Passover, the dead could not be touched. No tomb could be entered. They were celebrating the ancient feast of Passover. More than likely, Yeshua was born at about the time of Passover, perhaps on Passover, which would indicate his name or his symbolic reference as the Lamb of God. The lamb was, of course, slaughtered on Passover as a celebration of God's deliverance from the Israelites, the bondage that they had experienced in Egypt. Yeshua was born to complete that promise. and to not just be delivered from the bondage of any political group of people who might be in dominance, but to deliver us from the bondage of our own mortal framework that we see suffering from pain, limitation, hunger, tyranny, physical bondage, emotional bondage, illness, and to give humanity hope that we actually are not just physical beings, but we are immortal beings of light, of love, and of the substance of God. And that was the ultimate blessing that was given to all of us to remember on this day of Easter. We here in Aransas Passeth just celebrated the Easter Mass. And in that celebration, we dedicated our new chapel here in Aransas Pass. Yesterday we were setting up, cleaning carpets, hanging crosses, setting up altar cloths, flowers and tables and chairs, and we created just a wonderful space to honor the dedication of our chapel here. This will be the headquarters of our Blessing International, and we will be delivering the blessing from the chapel today. We are very blessed to have Bishop Dale and his wife Karen with us, and of course Archbishop Larry and me, and all of our blessing givers around the world. I'm not sure everyone could make it because of differences in time and perhaps conflicts in schedule, but we have the largest number of our blessing givers ever assembled here to convey the Easter blessing of this year, 2014. We know that this is a year in which we really do need to ascend from the physical bondage of our life, whatever that might be, whether it might be a health, a relationship, a lack of mobility in life, a lack of fluidity, financial limitations, lack of hope, whatever your bondage has been. Let this blessing lift you above that spirit of self-denial that has caused us to believe that we need to ask permission from our limitations. We only need to ask assistance from God, guidance by the Holy Spirit, and the empowerment of love that Yeshua brought to this earth. And in those three powers, there is no bondage. There is no bondage that you and I need to ever ask permission from. That doesn't mean we don't still need to follow through on our obligations of promises or obligations of debt, but we don't need to approach these things with a heavy heart, as if we have been imprisoned in something that makes us less than we are. We face our duties, our responsibilities, and even our progressions of health. Sometimes we need to follow standard protocols on our health, but we don't follow them with a spirit of, I don't know what I need. You do know what you need. The Spirit always knows. You are your highest guidance in the liberation of your life to a higher, more ennobled level of being, of receiving, and of integrating the blessings of God into your life. As we surrender on this day, as Yeshua did almost 2,000 years ago, we find that in that surrender, all we have ever surrendered is our bondage. That which we truly are, our love, our eternal spirit, our hope, our creative fire, our union with God as the substance of God, being a child of God in creation, was never in bondage. No part of us that is essentially, quintessentially ennobled and of value has ever been bondaged. We know this truth in our life as the spirit of Easter. The early Christians faced all manner of persecution, even unto death, singing and praising God, knowing that whatever persecution came their way was just the liberation of one more shackle that had been placed upon them. If it meant the liberation from their body, then so be it. Let us praise God that we are now enjoined more deeply with God. If they were put in prison, then let us praise God that this is all we have to worry about. We can sing with our souls, and our soul is liberated to sing the praises, the Alleluia chorus to God, all day and every day, that we may sit in prayer all day, every day. If they were put in service of others, then the ego was, they were liberated from the ego, that they would never have to service it again, that they were liberated to serve God and only God. They took every form of mortal limitation as an exemplary opportunity to liberate themselves from it. And that's not to say that we cannot enjoy the pleasures of flesh or the pleasures of physical living. But we cannot fully enjoy them if we are in bondage to them. We must first liberate the spirit, the heart, and the soul to a higher level, that we may then enjoy the most delicious cheesecake or the most delicious and delightful walk on a spring pathway or the smile of a child and the innocence of that child. We must liberate ourselves spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and in every other way, creatively, that we may then enjoy the very acts of creation that we get to experience along the pathways of life. As an artist, if all I ever did was the technique of painting, I would become a very dull and boring artist. But I began every painting in the world of spirit, and I painted as if anything and everything is possible. I carry that spirit onto the canvas, and then I find ways of implementing my techniques to support the spiritual quest. And then it becomes an adventure to paint. I've just planted a garden. That's perfect for springtime. But I didn't take plow to the earth and think of it as an obligation and a duty and a physical bondage that I have to go through. First of all, I spoke to the plants, to the seeds. I spoke to the soil. I blessed the soil. I asked the plants where they would like to be and how they would like to face the sun. And then together, we carved the place where their roots would sink. And with blessings and joy, we put life, new life, into the earth. We can do this with everything, my friends, literally with everything, whether it's a day at work or planting geraniums in the garden or teaching our children about important lessons of life. You know, the thing is, if we take the joy first into the lesson, then the lesson is something that will be learned through the heart and the soul. This is one thing that I have been taking to heart very deeply recently as I'm preparing this new class, this new webinar for you. It's called The 12 Laws of the Universe That Always Work. But now think about it. Think about how often we approach the subject of law as something you can't do or you have to do or some restriction we have to respect. Some boundary we cannot cross, something that will be forced upon us or enforced upon us or we'll be judged by. But instead of that, from the viewpoint of Yeshua, from the teachings of Yeshua, the laws of the universe are like the laws of love. We look at them and say, how does this help me live a better, more fulfilling life, that I can use this to be in service to God and life and have more than I ever thought I could have, more hope than I ever thought I could have, because I'm really working with the universe. The fact is, we were all created through, by, and from the laws of the universe. There's no other way it could be. You were actually created from light, by light, for the service of light, to be light all the days of your existence, now and forevermore. You were created to walk on the earth by the laws of gravity that actually support you in making all the powerful connections of your life, that you can actually feel a connection. I know you've all walked into a crowded room. You've looked around, and even among smiling faces, you felt one or two people that you had a connection with, and you were drawn to those people. My friends, that's the law of gravity. At work on a human level, in your heart, connecting you as you were created from the laws of gravity to connect to another who also was. And in that, that law is bringing you together. And together you'll find a pathway that you want to walk on. And so it is with every law that truly is a law. Not just some serendipitous power that we cultivate and say, oh, gee, if I could cultivate this, I would have a very special advantage in life. We don't have to think like that. And it's thinking like that that has put us into competition with one another. And in being in competition with one another, we've come to stratify society. We've come to think those who are enabled with more talent are more blessed than others. Those who are born with more advantages have a benefit and a head start over everyone else. And then we feel that we're less than them. That's not the life Yeshua came to create on this earth. He came to liberate us from all those levels of false thinking. We were all created as an aspect of the God self, the God soul, to walk on this earth. And surely we don't all have the same talents. But you know, we've seen those who were created with great advantage and they just wasted them. We've seen those like just incredibly handicapped children whom we might think had no advantage at all. Like Helen Keller. Who would think that she would become one of the most important sources of inspiration in the 20th century? This child with almost no advantages at all. But she worked her way through the darkness by realizing that she herself was created from, by, and through all the laws of the universe. And they were all restored to our being through the life of Christ, who lived and served and laughed and loved and enchanted our children and brought us hope and healing and guidance and teaching. And everything he taught, everything he shared with us, the great anointing of life he brought to the planet, was to bring these laws back from the depths of death into the heights of life and love, because these are the laws of life. And this is what his life was about, to rejoin us with our everlasting life. And think of it this way. If in fact we live by just one of these laws fully, the law of light, let's say. Light is immortal. It never dies. It goes on forever. How could we not go on forever? Think about that. How could we not? And yes, this physical protoplasmic life has cycles of life within it. And perhaps we join with those cycles again and again, as many people believe. Or perhaps we choose not to. Perhaps we just choose to be with God forever, according to the laws of light, being immortal. It is said that everything created in light is here in this universe forever and forever and forever. Everything created in the law of gravity has the ability to connect forever and forever and forever. So how could Yeshua not be connecting with us and be available for us whenever we pray? The only thing lacking in our prayers is our own faith and our own sense of confidence that we really are connecting in the spirit of oneness, that we are really here connecting with the spirit of faith, the spirit of love. To be in our heart and to know that truth is to truly be alive. I noticed that Father Chris Dunn, one of our Spiritist priests, is on the line. I would love to bring you on, Chris, and you are live. Welcome.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
Well, got on just a tad bit late under the call, but you were talking about ego, and it's, excuse me, to be in bondage to it. And I was just going to remark, you already answered part of my question, but I noticed that after the blessing seminar, not only was I elevated and elated, but that it had a tendency to go to the deepest level and just start pushing things out that need to be looked at. And a lot of those seem to be, you know, old ego patterns and things like that. And it's just becoming more and more apparent that it's like creation itself, as we almost create every single moment, or at least our response to it, or maybe even initiating the next moment, is like a constant moment-to-moment thing. We couldn't also look at, you know, creating a big business, but also just creating the next moment is what I was, has been kind of drawn to. And it's, and sometimes it can be kind of a struggle. I'm just wondering, if I'm focusing on these laws of life, then I, during those moments of, moment to moment creation, that it would just be more in line with universal principles, I would imagine.
Indeed, it is. And this is what happens in the blessing, Chris, because as I've said so many times, the blessing comes in a pure energetic form, which has no limiting definition whatsoever. It can apply to any prayer, any need, any desire, and for anyone to take it into their heart and for it to nourish their life, their heart, their body, their soul, and their creations in life as well, in any way that seems appropriate for it to be directed. But at the moment of receiving, it has no limitations whatsoever. It falls like the rain upon the earth. It falls upon the fertile soil, the infertile. It falls upon the desert and the rainforest. It falls upon the earth without discrimination, just as the sun shines on the good and the bad, the rich and the poor, the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun does not discriminate in the giving of the gift, nor does God discriminate in the giving of the gifts. It is we who limit ourselves in the receiving of the gifts.
Right.
And as we rise above our self-imposed limitation, then we begin to receive more of the gifts that are available to us, that have been given to us. And we begin to look around and say, well, you know, it doesn't have to be exactly the way I thought it had to be. And I'll give you another little secret, and that goes along with what you're saying about the ego. the most limiting factor in our life is what we've identified with. If we've identified with being, let's say, a teacher or a high school teacher or a college teacher, then we might limit ourselves from going out to the world to being a public motivational speaker, public speaker. That's teaching also. It would use, it would employ the same thing, the same talents, the same abilities to address people. You've got to arrive. You've got to let people know you're there for them. You've got to listen with your heart and then choose your words as you speak, but not with too much limitation so that you can be spontaneous. Same thing in teaching. You have to be creative. You've got to know what your audience is willing to receive and think ahead of time about creative ideas. You know, the interesting thing is in the transportation industry, in the early part of the 20th century, the railroad was the big industry. And as the airlines came along, do you know not one railroad company bought or purchased an airline company because they identified with being a railroad company. They didn't see that they were in the transportation business. Not a single railroad bought a single airlines. Not even air freight.
Extraordinary.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
That's the limitation of ego, that it causes us to over-identify. I think it's only natural to identify a little bit because we can build humor around that. We can even laugh at ourselves. You know, we will wear a hat that belongs to our profession, you know, and we'll celebrate Secretary's Day or Teacher's Day, or if we're an environmentalist, we enjoy celebrating the holidays, and we enjoy our groups and our group associations. It's just natural to identify a little bit. We can have fun with it, and we connect with other people that share that identity. But the minute we get really in solidly into super identification, we lose our freedom.
I had that experience when I was a paramedic and then suddenly couldn't do it anymore because of a back injury. I totally identified as a paramedic, and what a shattering experience. But it it was a launch pad to go into management and other different things. So it was interesting.
Yes. You know, I saw that when I was teaching at the university level, because in at least in the larger universities, perhaps not at the at the college level, the four-year level or the junior college level, but definitely in the major universities. If you don't make tenure, you have to leave. Isn't that ridiculous? If you don't make, if you're there 2 years, you'll come up for tenure. If you don't make tenure, you leave. Now, you could teach in the evening college, but I have seen people completely leave the teaching profession because they didn't make tenure. What a waste of personal investment and dedication to get so identified with wanting to become a professor that then all of their knowledge and their expertise as teaching would just be thrown down the drain for the loss of an ego position. It's almost, it's self-destructive. And collectively speaking, it's criminal to waste those talents. So, yes, we've all seen it one way or the other. People who don't get a license to do something think they can't do something similar that doesn't require a license. There's usually something you can apply any talent or any ability to, and you don't have to limit your life to all the prescriptions of permission that the world puts up. You can find a useful application for anything, and actually some of the most successful industries began in somebody's garage. Well, Microsoft is an example.
Yeah, Bill Gates.
Yeah, he didn't ask from IBM, you know, or any of the preceding corporations. He did his thing. So this is what I'm saying. God gives inspiration without limitation. It's we that put the limitation on it. So on Easter Day, let us break the limitations of our life, whatever they may be. You might have been told by a doctor that you have this lifetime sentence of an illness. You have to deal with it your whole life. Wrong. Wrong. Only if you agree to that. You might. We had a blessing giver, a brand new blessing giver, come to our course in the last seminar. She was given 2 weeks to live a year ago. She has no signs or symptoms of that illness. Totally gone. It was very advanced leukemia with a very, very aggressive tumor on her chest that has no visible signs whatsoever. It doesn't even exist now. She's a blessing giver. There are no illnesses you have to agree to. Now, that's always not a simple prescription, because sometimes we have to work backwards layer by layer by layer to find out what was the heart of what we agreed to that got us in that predicament. And this is just a very quick reference I'm going to make now. I'll make it in more depth on another call. But my husband, Dr. Larry Jensen, has a CD. It's called Psychogenesis, and it's wonderful for helping you cut back through the layers to get to where that first agreement happened. But the thing about the blessing is God doesn't care about where your first agreement happened, because God doesn't filter his blessings through your agreements. Yeshua doesn't limit his love to your agreements or what you think is a limitation. He gives his love unconditionally. The Holy Spirit doesn't limit itself energetically or spiritually to the pathways or the gateways you give it access to. It knows how to enter. The Holy Spirit is like the holy healing virgin of Agent Orange. It knows how to penetrate everything. And it comes in and it gives a healing penetration and lift to everything in your life. But now the filtration of all these blessings into your life could take a little longer, which is why we give the blessing over and over again freely to everyone. And we're here every week, and our blessing givers are at work every day during the week, addressing not only just the issues of the world and the crises, but just unconditionally offering the blessing. So when you pray, maybe think of a blessing giver and give thanks to that blessing giver for the work that they do, because it makes a difference in the world you live in. And it's a contagious thing. Sometimes we get our blessings indirectly from those who have already received a blessing and now have a cup overflowing, ready to give extra to you. So I give thanks and praise to all of our blessing givers who are here today to make this the blessed blessing of all. The blessing of Easter 2014, and it is time for us to begin our blessing. I'm going to, I'm going to take just a minute to get us off the Q&A mode. And I'm going to get us.
Yeah, I got to mute it now.
Oh, I hit. We do have a lot of people on this call. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, I wanted to do that as well. And I'm going to go into our chapel, because we want to offer the blessing today in our chapel. And I'm also going to start our Alleluia music. If you don't wish to hear the music, if you just want to be in silence, then you can mute your own telephone. So I will begin with an invitation. And Yeshua, Lord of life. energetic conveyance of the blessing is now complete. We would like you to go and rest and just receive for at least 7 minutes. Receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and the companionship and nourishment of Christ. Happy Easter. May you have a wonderful and happy new beginning for this year. Amen.